Ladies and gentlemen, John Acuff is with me on the Productivityist podcast. John, thanks for joining me this week on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for getting up so early. I know you're on the other side of the world.
And I'm a night owl.
The dedication you have given me. I mean, what a gift I've already received.
Well, here's the thing, is that you and I have kind of crossed paths online before in terms of just, you know, we get mentioned in tweets or whatever. And then you and I both have worked with Jesse Phillips of New Year.
Who is amazing.
He is awesome. When I got to see him in Atlanta last year, and we put together the Now Year calendar, and he goes, there's this other one that you might want to look at. And I saw the calendar, the do-over calendar. I'm like, oh, that's John Acuff stuff. And he goes, oh, like he's, and the way it was is interesting. He says, I'm working with somebody, and he was very secretive about it. And then I saw the branding. I'm like, oh, that's John Acuff stuff, right? He goes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a very secret person, obviously, via all my tweets. And I have a hashtag for my family seasons, Acuff Spring, Acuff Summer. So I'm very, very private individual.
You try to keep things on the DL most of the time.
Yeah, I do. I have a small writing cave, and I write long poems on scrolls, actually.
Really? How does that translate? Like, do you use Scannable for Evernote to get those into some digital format?
No, no electricity. This is, today's call is the only, I fired up a generator.
So I'm impressed, because how would you put together a book like Do Over, Rescue Monday, Reinvent Your Work, and Never Get Stuck, unless you had, this would have taken you probably, what, 8 years? To write easily, if without your technology at hand, or without any technology.
It actually, this was the hardest writing process, in all seriousness, because for me it was a reflection of, okay, I've been working in companies for 16 years, which all of a sudden you realize, like, you're not the cool young guy anymore. Like, you're the guy that is going on 2 decades of work, and you go, oh, like, I'm not. You know, when I was 24 and I had an idea, I could go, well, I'm young. Hey, I surprised you because I'm young. You weren't expecting it. And then there's this shift that happens, which is really fascinating to me. But yeah, this was the process of kind of working on this was over the last year and a half. And it was, I've never worked on a book like I worked on this one. And so I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, I just got it in the mail, as we're recording this, I got it earlier this week in the mail. I started to go through it already. And I mean, I've loved your past books, of course, Quitter, Start, Stuff Christians Like, is kind of the outlier, I would say, of the three at this point. But it's funny, you've got Quitter, then Start, then Do Over. So it's kind of like the trilogy to a certain.
Yeah, and I'm a big kind of one word, two word, title person.
Right.
So I just felt like, you're right, Stuff Christians Like is kind of the outlying, you know, faith book, it's humor. And then I really started to care a lot about career. And I think, you know, the best books I write are when it's a book I need first, and then I discover other people need too. You know, and so when people go, why'd you write Do-Over? It's because I had a massive do-over. And I needed to kind of look at my own life and go, okay, what are the things that make a do-over successful? Whether you're in college, I mean, graduating college is a huge do-over. You know, looking up at 52 and knowing you need a second career is a huge do-over. Being 32 and realizing you're at the top of a career ladder already and don't know where to go next is a do-over. And so that's kind of what started this particular book.
Let's talk about the career savings account, because I think a lot of people, especially when they're looking at making a wholesale shift in their lives because either things are out of whack or they're just, you know, they're not able to do the things that they really want to do. You talk about the career savings account in Do Over, and I want you to, like, kind of touch on that, because I think that that's some of that practical information that you were addressing.
Sure. Yeah. What I realized was the challenge is a lot of times culturally we spend 18 years getting ready for college. And then the next thing we get ready for is death and retirement. And we've got this 40-year gap where we don't lean into our careers. We kind of culturally accept that work is just work is just work. And, you know, a job's a job. And we eat at TGI Fridays, not TGI Mondays, because we hate the work week. And, you know, and at least in the States, which is what people in America say to try to sound like they're well-traveled, is I just call it the States. I don't even have time for the word United. But at least in the States, there's really not even an industry that serves that. When I have a problem with my finances, I call my financial guy. When I have a, you know, a health issue, I call my doctor. When if I'm a 32-year-old developer and I realize I don't want to be at this company any longer, who do I even call for guidance? And so the career savings account is this idea of, what if you really invested in your career and built up the things that mattered the most so that you could spend that savings account in any way you wanted? And maybe you're going to stay at a job and crush it at a corporation. I don't like the whole idea that, you know, 70% of Americans are dissatisfied at work, but 100% of them are not meant to be entrepreneurs. Some are. Like, I hope you kill it as an entrepreneur, but I don't like this kind of discussion we have where you go, unless you're an entrepreneur, you're not really doing anything that matters. Like, you can't do great work at great companies. Sure you can. A lot of people do that constantly. So the career savings account is built off of four investments, and it's relationships plus skills plus character times hustle. And you need all four, because if you only have three of those, the whole thing falls apart. So say you have amazing relationships, amazing skills, amazing hustle, and no character, you become Tiger Woods, and it falls apart because they're connected. Say you have amazing skills, amazing character, amazing relationships, and no hustle, you become every NFL draft bust that was amazing in high school and college on natural talent, but got to the NFL and wasn't willing to work hard. Or say you have amazing skills, character, and hustle, but no relationships, you become the emperor with new clothing. No one can tell you the truth. And what I've learned is that leaders who can't be questioned end up doing questionable things. And so the fun thing is, we all have parts of these investments already. Nobody's career savings account is bankrupt. It's just that most of us have never applied them in this way and said, okay, I'm going to build these four things because they need each other. Because here's the reality, Mike. Relationships get you the first gig. Like, the original job hack is relationships. Mm-hmm. Somebody will take a shot on you that you don't deserve. But here's the truth. Skills get you the second gig. Because I don't care if you love your best friend. If she sucks at cutting hair, you don't go back a second time. So we need skills. And then hustle gets you every gig after that. So they work in this relationship. Hustle needs relationships too to temper it. We have a lot of friends that roll over people and go, I'm just hustling. It's this kind of gross word on the internet right now. It sounds like an Axe body spray flavor. So you need relationships that can kind of temper that. And so you see them work together in concert. And so as you look at a career, again, whether you're in college right now and you're saying, okay, what happens when I graduate? Or whether you're trying to, you know, you want to try to get a promotion at a job, these are the things you'll need. You'll never have a job where they go, we wish you had less relationships and were worse at connecting with people. Or we wish you had less character. And so the book is about, how do you build these four things and how do you handle the four transitions that every career goes through, every dream goes through?
I love this idea of, you know, the four traits that you kind of have to have, because as you're going through it, I mean, going back to my story about, you know, David Allen saying, hey, write for us. If that didn't happen, that relationship, no one would know what I was capable of, because I would have maybe been languishing, or further that, I would have still been doing this very niche parody site that, you know, I mean, we already know that productivity is very, very much a niche, but to be a niche within a niche, I would have really had to hustle. You know, I mean, I would have really had to do that to take things to the next level. So I love this component. Now, what was the first thing that you would suggest that they do if somebody's, you know, stuck in that rut, or they're saying, hey, you know what? I'm at this job. I'm here because, you know, I've got the golden handcuffs on, and yeah, I get 5 weeks vacation or 4 weeks vacation. So I'm working every day just to get to that next vacation. What would you suggest to them in terms of, hey, you know, how do you assess and figure out, should I start over again, or should I just, you know, how would this apply to them if they're not quite sure what they want to do and how to get out of it if they do?
Well, I think, you know, one of the first things I'd say is, what does your team say right now? A lot of times when I talk to people, and I'll say, okay, hey, if you feel stuck, what are the people that are able to tell you the truth saying about where you are right now? Because a lot of times our close circle of friends can really see what's going on in a way we can't. This author, Roy H. Williams, said it's like trying to read the outside of the label from inside the bottle. And so a lot of times I'll say, okay, well, you know, to get a sense of, are you really stuck, or are you in the right place? You know, what are your friends saying? We did, there's an online career assessment we put together called careersavingsaccount.com. It's just 12 quick questions. And one of the questions is about, do you have an advocate? Do you have a mentor? And 63% of the people that filled it out, we had 3,000 people fill it out, said they didn't have a mentor. They didn't have an advocate. So one of the first things I'd say is get in relationship. You know, start. You don't have to do anything drastic. But you can say to a friend, hey, I'm feeling a little stuck right here. What do you think? And I promise you that friend will say something that's true if you've built a relationship. I spoke in Houston yesterday, and there was a woman there that was in healthcare, and she said, you know, I've been a photographer forever, and I've just been doing portraits, and what I always wanted to do was fine art photography. And finally a friend said, you're a fine art photographer. Just admit it. Say it out loud. The end. And it was this, it sounds really subtle and simple to you and I, but it was this dramatic shift where that person spoke a line of truth into her life. And she said, okay, so like, it's okay that I don't want to do portraits anymore. I don't want to do weddings anymore. Not that that's a bad thing. It's just not what I'm supposed to be doing. So a big, big first step is what relationships are you in that can help you see where you really are?
Awesome. I know we don't have a lot of time left, so I want to talk about Rescuing Mondays, because as you know, Mondays are the bane of most people's existence, especially if they're in a situation that they just don't want to be in. So, you know, obviously in the book you cover this, but can you give kind of a quick example of one way that somebody right now, if they're listening to it live, or as the day it comes out, the book is out now. This is the day the book launches. So they'll have to wait 6 days to apply this again. But can you give them some insight as to what they could do just first thing next Monday that would help them start to rescue Mondays going forward?
Sure. Yeah. And it's funny because for some people, Tuesday is Monday, yeah. Wednesday is Monday. If you don't like what you're doing, or if it could be better, like here's the thing, a bad job can be good. A good job can be great. A great job can be awesome. So, you know, this book isn't about quitting your job. I wrote that book already. Yeah. It's called Quitter because I'm wicked creative with titles. And so don't feel like if you're listening to this, I already kind of like my job. And here's the thing, too, is the most dangerous job in the world is the good enough job, because the good enough job will woo you to sleep. A bad job, a horrible job, forces you to have the conversation. So if you, you know, if you said to me, how do I rescue Monday? I think, you know, the easy answer is check out the book. You can get the first chapter free. Like, read the first chapter. When people come up to me and say, like, why should I read your book? I always say, like, maybe you shouldn't. Like, check it out. Take, you know, read through it first. I read a first chapter before I buy a book, or I'll take a look at it. So you can get that on just doover.me. So, you know, from a book perspective, check out the book, see if it's something that, you know, you connect with and are interested in. And then I guess the big thing, here's what I believe in. And here's what I'd say to people. There's two things I know. You're capable of more than you think, and it's going to take more work than you think. And that's why I write. Because the first one's about hope. A lot of times it's about giving people permission to dream, that they get to, that that's not for just other people. That it's not for a later part of your life. That it's not for retirement. It's for right now. And you get to do that. You have permission to do that. And it's about generating hope. And then if I do that, I can talk to you about the second part, which is the work. We live in an instant culture. You and I are surrounded by instant internet experts that do something well for 1 hour and then sell a $500 PDF about it online and say, you'll change your life overnight. And then you read that and your life doesn't change and you feel like, well, maybe it was me. Maybe I failed. Because it's this promise of it'll be easy, it'll be instant. And it's not, nothing that matters is. So my hope is that, you know, even if you don't buy the book, you'll believe you have permission to change your life. And then you'll start to explore the work that comes with that. Because there's a lot of great books that will give you the first part and will give you the Pinterest image of the person standing over a mountaintop with a quote from Abraham Lincoln that Abraham Lincoln did not say. And you get inspired, but you don't know what to do next. And there's a lot of great books that will tell you all the hard work and all the steps and all the practicalities, but don't inspire you. Don't make you laugh. Don't make you go like, I can do this. Like, this is for me. And I honestly think Do-Over does both of those. So that would be my thing. So believe you can do it and know that there's going to be work and figure out what that work looks like for you.
Your new book is called Do-Over, Rescue Monday, Reinvent Your Work and Never Get Stuck. I love the idea about, you know, the intention behind building, you know, that career, using these four elements: skills, relationship, character, and hustle. I've always said that, you know, you need two things, intention and attention, because one gives you the power and the other one gives you direction. So I can't wait to really dive into this because I've had a chance to go over it a bit, mainly reading the back sleeve with all the endorsements. Oh my goodness. Blurb City. Seth,
I know, right? Can you believe his? I was blown away.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing because, you know, I mean, I've read a lot of books and seen a lot of books, but to see some of the ones on back here, like Jim Gaffigan, Michael Hyatt, Andy Andrews, you know, I mean, Chris Guillebeau, and you'll be speaking at, for those of you who are going to the World Domination Summit this year, those who listen know I've gone every year. John is speaking there this year.
So yeah, I'm really excited. My wife's coming with me. We're going to do a couple days in Portland. I've never been to the World Domination Summit, so I got to meet Chris a few months ago. I did kind of a 5-minute opener for him when he came through with his book tour.
Right.
He's just such a great guy. And as you know better than anybody, he's put together an honest community that leads from the heart. And so I'm really excited that he's being so kind to let me step on his stage.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing experience. I can't wait to meet you in person there because I'm going to be at WDS again this year. It's kind of like that mid-year reboot and recharge for me. You know, it's perfect timing. I can't wait.
I'm definitely nervous about that one in a good way, but definitely nervous about that.
There's only going to be, you know, thousands of people watching you.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Well, I've done like bigger events.
Yeah.
It's the heart of the,
yeah.
Like, I really want to get it right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. So John, where can people can find the book at doover.me? Is that what
doover.me?
Doover.me is where they can find, and they can also find you and your writing at johnacuff.me, right?
Acuff.me.
Just Acuff.
So, yeah, you just keep saying the incorrect things. I'll keep correcting them.
That's the way.
Like, and on Twitter at Jonathan Acuff. No. Just John Acuff.
John, thanks for joining me this week on the Productivityist podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a ton of fun.